Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar, How to Monitor and Manage Big Data Pipelines with Azure Data Factory. Presenting today is Gaurav Malhotra, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will run for 1 hour. The webinar is being recorded and will be available on demand within 48 hours. A copy of today's presentation and recording link will be sent via email once the files are available. If you have any questions during the webcast, please enter your question in the Q&A widget on the left of your screen and click Submit. We'll try and get through as many questions as we can during the live broadcast. Without further ado, I'd like to turn the presentation over to our speaker, Gaurav. Go ahead.
Hi folks, my name is Gaurav Malhotra, and like Rahi mentioned, I'm a program manager here in the Cortana Analytics team, specifically for the Data Factory service. What I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to walk you through the monitor and manage capabilities in Data Factory. So I'm going to give you a brief overview of where are we in the analytics space and what is Azure Data Factory. I'm sure you guys have heard previous webinars that some of my coworkers have given about Data Factory, and our today's focus would be mainly on how we can monitor and manage those big data pipelines that you have created using Azure Data Factory. So with that, I would like to get started and present you this screen, which is actually very familiar in the analytics space today. So what you see on the top is a particular pattern where customers over the last decade have been ingesting data from their line of business applications, from their ERP applications. Then they are transforming that data, and this is generally in the form of SSIS packages that are running if you are on a Microsoft stack. You load that data into your SQL Server, Teradata, or whichever data warehouse you are using, and ultimately you are consuming the data in your data mats, or you're creating a dashboard, or you are using a Power BI dashboard. What has changed in the last decade is the bottom portion on this particular picture, where with the amplification of devices and the number of devices that have been connected to the internet, the data has grown multifold. So there are a bunch of these devices throwing data, and you are ingesting that data and storing it in a cheap form of storage, which could be your Azure Data Lake store, or it could be your Azure Blob. And then you are running scale out compute, and this is your HD Insight compute, or you're running USQL queries on Azure Data Lake Analytics, and then consuming the data again in your dashboards, or building data mods, or building custom apps on top of it. Now, the below picture, which it's also showing, is that data is coming in motion as well as in batch. So there's streaming data and there are batch scenarios where you want to, as the data is coming in, you want to gain insights into the data. So that's the streaming portion. And while the data is being ingested, let's say via your Event Hub, it is also being spooled to a long form of storage like Azure Blob or Azure Data Lake Store, and then you are running batch analytics on top of it. So the pattern that you can see has changed from ETL, as you see in the top, extract, transform, and load, to ELT, which is extract, load, and then transform. So in the earlier pattern, people knew the questions that they want to get answered. So they knew what type of SSIS packages they had to create upfront before the data actually arrived. But in today's case, what is happening is that as the data is coming in, you are figuring out those questions. You are figuring out what your business decision makers want to know. You're figuring out what your developers want to know. So you load the data into your long form of storage like Azure Blob or Data Lake Store, and then you figure out the questions, and then you run big data queries like HD Insight, Hive, Pig, or MapReduce, or a USQL query to figure out that insight. So with that, if I were to show you what Cortana Analytics Suite is doing, it is essentially allowing you to achieve all of that. It is allowing you to do three things. The first thing is it is allowing you to collect and manage the data. And this could be data from relational stores or non-relational stores. It could be streaming data. It could be structured or semi-structured data. Then there's a transform and analyze layer where you could be running Hive, big MapReduce, USQL queries, or you could be doing some machine learning, which is you're doing some statistical analysis or you're doing some prediction on top of the data that has been collected. And then you're visualizing the data in your dashboards or in custom applications. So if I were to take this picture and explain what Data Factory is, and in this picture, what Data Factory is doing for you. Data Factory has three main value props. So it is a service, which is a cloud-based managed service, and it allows you to build and operate these big data pipelines. And you can call them data flows as well. So it allows you to orchestrate, monitor, and schedule these data flows. So we have a copy service underneath Azure Data Factory, which is live in different locations all over the world. And once you trigger a copy operation, let's say you say that I want to copy data from US East to another storage account in US East. So we will trigger the copy service in US East, and that way your data will never leave geographical boundaries. So it allows you to ingest the data from a bunch of sources, and we support both cloud as well as on-premise sources like SQL Azure, SQL Azure Blob, Azure Table, Data Lake Store, and on-prem sources like Oracle, Teradata, Sybase, DB2, on-prem SQL Server. So you can ingest the data, then you can orchestrate data processing. So you can compose data processing in, like, you could have Hive queries being run on your HD Insight cluster. You could have PIG queries. You could have MapReduce queries. You could have USQL queries run on Azure Data Lake Analytics account. So you ingest the data, you transform by applying all of these queries if you wanted to run. And then again, you can copy the data to your data marts. So this entire pattern, you can build a big data pipeline using Azure Data Factory. Then you can monitor and manage that entire pipeline. And that's what our focus is going to be today. And I'm going to delve into more details as we move forward. The second part is there is automatic infrastructure management. So like I said, we have a data movement as a service. So you just provide the source and destination. You don't have to worry about the infrastructure for copying the data. You don't have to worry about parallelism. We'll take care of that. And then all the resource allocation, like if you want to run a Hive query on HD Insight cluster, we have two modes. You can bring your own HD Insight cluster and say, run my queries on that. Or you could say that this is my query. Go and create an HD Insight cluster, run this query, and then tear down the cluster. We support both modes for infrastructure management. And finally, we have a single pane of glass where you can monitor and manage your network of data flows. So you can see what is running, you can see what has failed, you can debug your failures, you can navigate in quick steps to your failure, you can alert on your failures, and that's what we will go in detail today. So if I were to give you an example of what is going on with Data Factory in form of a picture. So you have a bunch of data sources. You are ingesting data from that. You are preparing the data. Then you are transforming and analyzing using Hive, PIG, MapReduce queries. And then you are publishing the data. And ultimately, that data is being consumed by your business decision makers. It is consumed by your developers and all the interested parties. So with Data Factory, what you can do is that you can operationalize these batch pipelines. So the word is important. We are talking about batch scenarios, not the real-time scenarios here. So you can orchestrate, schedule, monitor, and manage your pipelines using Azure Data Factory. And today, our focus is on monitor and manage for portion. And this happens to be one of our biggest value prop, and this separates us from our competitors like SnapLogic, like Amazon Data Pipeline, and so on and so forth. So what I want to do is that I want to explain this with the help of an example. And the example that I want to use is something that I believe some of you might be familiar with. And it's essentially Howl.net. So this is essentially an experiment that our VP Joseph had launched last year. And this is just people going on a site and they are trying to upload their photograph or using an existing photograph and they're trying to predict their age. So you upload a photograph, we use the Oxford APIs, the machine learning APIs, to determine the age based on the statistics of your face, and then we show your age. Now, when we released this, we actually did not think that this would grow this much huge. And this essentially turned out to be a big data problem for Microsoft, because within a span of few days, this turned out to be a huge hit. There were people all over the world who were trying to upload their photographs and predict their age, as you can see in this. And some of it was right, some of it was not right, but that was not the goal here. The goal was to see that whether our APIs are good enough or not, and to see whether people are interested in actually uploading their photographs and predicting their age, and use some of these APIs in such a manner. So essentially, this 80 million people so far have uploaded their photographs till now, and we have 500 million images that have been uploaded. So you can see that 500 million people on the planet have tried to upload a photograph and predict their age. So this became a huge sensation. And you can see from this picture that the phone became popular in 75 years. The radio became popular in 38 years. It took 13 years for television to actually become a phenomena. And Facebook, 3.5 years. And Angry Birds, it took 35 days. Whereas Howl.net, it just took 7 days for it to go viral. And we had, in one day, there was a single day where more than 15 million people had tried to upload their photograph and predict their age. So why am I telling you this? My goal is to show you how you'll be able to monitor and manage a big data pipeline that we have built to capture the data. So essentially, we do not store any image when you upload your image. We just predict the age, we throw away your image from the memory, and we just store a log line that someone tried to upload a photograph at this time, and that event gets logged in our storage. So the goal today is to show you how we are able to monitor and manage the big data pipeline corresponding to Howl.net. I'm not going to go in detail on how this was built. We have separate webinars for that. We have separate documentation blog posts to explain how this was done. So the goal would be that once this is built, how can I now day in, day out, or how can a DevOps person, or how could a data developer could go day in, day out and monitor and manage this big data pipeline? So what we had today, just like last month, we have announced something new for monitoring and manage capabilities in Azure Data Factory. Before that, we had a rudimentary monitor and manage capabilities in Azure portal, but what we have come up with is a new ADF monitoring and management app. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen and walk you through the actual pipeline that was built. And essentially, as I walk you through the pipeline, I'm going to cover the next slides in this particular deck and explain each of those scenarios and how a data developer or DevOps person can do that for a Howl.net pipeline using the monitor and manage capabilities in Azure Data Factory. So let me go and share my screen. All right, so this is essentially a data factory that we have for Howl.net, and this is actually pinned on my dashboard, so I just clicked it, and once you click it, you'll land on the page, and you can see that we have the pipelines built for this particular data factory, and then there's a new monitor and manage tab that we have launched. So I'm going to click this monitor and manage tab, and this is going to open up a new app that we have built to monitor and manage these particular pipelines. And essentially, what I'm going to do is going to take a couple of minutes to explain the base screen that we have landed here on once this opens up. So this experience is outside of Ibiza. It's entirely built ground up by us on a shell that is beneath this particular application. So you can see on this particular screen that we have four things. So we have the Resource Explorer, where you can see all your pipelines, your data sets, your link services, your gateways. I think my screen share got lost, so I'm just buffering it again. Yeah, so all the resources corresponding to your data factory. Then there is this center pane which shows you your diagram view that you have built. So these are essentially the pipelines that you have built and deployed to your data factory. So it allows you to see the entire graph, operational graph that you have built. Then there is a list view on the bottom, which is essentially showcasing all the executions that have happened corresponding to your data factory. And these executions appear in the descending order of time. So the last execution that has happened will be the first one to be displayed. And then what we have on the right is a details pane. So we call it the Activity Window Explorer. So for any execution that you would choose here, you can see the details corresponding to that execution on the right. So the point that I want to make here is that the information on this screen is very dense, and it allows you to see stuff in context. And when I say context, what it means is that I could actually highlight any row in this particular list view, and it is going to change the corresponding data sets, pipelines, and link services that this execution belongs to. It is also going to highlight that particular pipeline and data set in the diagram view, as you can see on your screen. So it allows you to see the context in which this execution has happened. And you saw that as I changed the execution in the list view, the details pane changed and snapped corresponding to that particular execution. So now you can see all the details corresponding to that particular execution on the right hand pane. So a lot of information in context of what you're doing. You're not going in the long blade journeys that you were going in Ibiza and kind of get lost and lose context. So this is very powerful for data developers, we believe. The second thing that we have done on this view is that you could actually now open the pipelines, and this was a feature that was live in there as well, in Ibiza as well. So you could go inside your pipeline and look at only the executions in that particular pipeline. So in this particular case, I'm looking at just compute events by platform pipeline. I'm looking at what was consumed, what was produced, what activity ran, and what was produced. And now the executions in the list view are only corresponding to this particular pipeline. I can even see on the top when the next run is going to happen. And on the right, again, I have my details corresponding to that particular execution. So I can click this breadcrumb to go back again to my factory floor, where I can see all the pipelines on my factory floor. And just to give a little bit context, what's happening over here is that in this particular pipeline, I have the raw data that is coming for my photos that are getting uploaded to this howl.net website. I'm partitioning the data, so I'm running a Hive query to partition the data so that I can only run my downstream processing on a per day basis. And once I've partitioned the data, all of these pipelines are questions that I want to get answered. So I want to know how many new users per day are coming and trying to upload their photographs. I want to see new events. An event is basically a photo upload and the number of images that are coming in that in a single upload of a photo. Then I want to know events by platform. I want to know location. I want to know browser, which browser are they using. And once I compute these questions, again, these questions are being computed using by running Hive queries, I get the output. And then I'm moving the output using the copy activity capability in Data Factory to a SQL Azure table. And then at the end, I have a Power BI dashboard hooked up to that SQL Azure tables. And this Power BI dashboard is running on a refresh. So every day the pipelines would run and the Power BI dashboard will refresh for that particular day. So this is what a business decision maker can see, and see that so far we have more than 500 million photographs being uploaded to howl.net. We can see the patterns of users by day. We can see patterns of user photos by day. We can see that last year when this was launched, the peak happened around about somewhere in May, where 15.5 million people tried to upload their photograph in a single day, and how it has been coming down since then. And then this year, somewhere around mid of January, we actually did a V2 of howl.net, and then it again picked up for a while, and then it came down. So all of these patterns are being shown in Power BI dashboard, but what is powering these patterns is the pipelines that are running in the Data Factory in behind these. So coming back to the monitor and manage aspect, what we have also done, you can see that there are bars on each of these data sets. So you can hover over these data sets, and now what will open up is essentially a calendar view, and you can see the executions that have happened in your last month. You can go back in time here and see how this particular activity has been running over last few months, whether it has been stable or it has been unstable. So I can see that it has been fairly stable, but there are occasions when it has failed in the past, and recently it has been failing quite often. So I can go and immediately click my failure, and then my right hand pane would snap to that particular failure, and I will again see all the things in context of the selection that I have made. So I can see on the right hand side all the details corresponding to the execution that happened on 10th of March. The next thing that I wanted to talk about is, and I'm going to stop and push this slide. So our data developers are asking three common questions, and this is something that we have come across based on the feedback that we have got, based on the based on different scenarios that we have come across working with our customers. And most of the times, our data developers are interested in knowing three things. They want to know, what are my latest executions? They want to know what has failed. And they also want to know what's running right now. And this is very common for a DevOps guy who is on a DevOps duty and wants to know the failure, wants to know the what's running at that moment to see why the data is being produced or not being produced in time. So what we have done in our system is that we have exposed what we call as views of the data factory. So you can see that on the left-hand pane, so I was at the Resource Explorer earlier, but then I switched and went to one the views that we have exposed in the data factory. And by default, the list view is showcasing the recent activity windows. So it is showcasing all the executions in the descending order of time. So the latest would be the first one to show. But what we have also here is failed activity windows. So all my failures, all my failed activity executions will show up if I'm going to go and click failed activity windows. If I'm going to go and click in progress, it's going to show all the in progress ones over here. So this is very powerful because now you can know what is going on in the system. So right now there's nothing running because this factory runs at midnight once in a day. So there's no execution that's occurring. But now you can see that it is so powerful for a data developer or DevOps guy because they can come in and they can see what has failed and they don't have to go through a bunch of pipelines to see that what exactly failed where. They can just click on this particular view and they can look at all the failures and start to debug each one of those one by one. So very powerful for, again, our data developers and for our DevOps person. So now the question that they ask, the next question they ask is, can I narrow down to my exact failure? So I'm actually looking at a particular pipeline and I want to know the if any failure has happened in that particular pipeline. So we have two things over here. So we have one thing called a global filter on the top just beneath the data factory name. So you can see that you can change this filter and everything will on the factory floor will snap to that time window. And you can go back in time, you can look at last 1 week, you can look at just last 1 day. So once you apply this particular filter, everything is going to change and snap to that particular time window. So I can see on the bottom now that I'm looking at all the executions that have happened since December 2015 to March 16, 2016. And now I can go and click this particular failure. And I can see on the right-hand side all the details about this particular failure. And I can actually go and see all the logs. I have to move this a little bit. So I can see all the logs over here that have that are corresponding to this particular execution. I can also see all the inputs that have gone in this particular execution. So essentially, when the script ran, what were the parameter values that were taken by each of the scripts? So all of those values I can see over here. I can see all my log files. I can download them. I can look at the error. And if I figured out the error, I can actually rerun them right here. And not only can I rerun that particular failure, I can rerun all the stuff upstream as well. If I figured out that the data upstream was not good and I need to rerun from the very beginning of all my pipelines. So you could do that as well. So you can again see over here that we have made it very easy for our users that just with a simple click, they can look at the detailed information about the failure. They can look at it in context of their diagram view. They can go and look all the logs. They can download it. They can look at all the properties corresponding to that those logs. And they can also look at all the script that is being run. So if I were to select a particular data set, I can see that this is the definition for my data set. I can go and look at the pipeline definition over here. I can navigate inside the pipeline and see, okay, this Hive script was running to produce this particular data set. So I can click on the activity and look at what script ran for that particular activity as well. So you don't have to go and do a lot of context switch. All the information is available in context of what you are trying to do. So it becomes very powerful for our users. Now, I showed you just the failures, but what if you wanted to look at not only the failures, but you wanted to look at some other status? So what we have done is that we have enabled you to filter your views. So now you can click on these columns and all the statuses corresponding to your executions will pop up. And you can see that when I actually clicked the system view corresponding to failed activity windows, all we did was that we applied the failed filter to the activity windows. So now I can remove this filter and I can say okay, and at that point it's going to again open up all the statuses corresponding to all the activity windows that we have. So you can choose and say that I just want to look at anything that has failed and timed out. So in it has failed, but it has failed because it has timed out. It has failed because it has had a failed execution. So you can do all of that using this filtering capability that we have enabled in Azure Data Factory Monitoring and Management app. So not only can you filter by status, you can also filter by your start and end. So you, if you wanted to look at all the executions only for a particular window of time, you could do that as well. And just to let you know that this window is a subset of the global time window up above. So if you have, so you essentially have 15th of December to 16th of March up above, this window start and window end time filters would be a subset of that particular time window. If you wanted to go beyond that, then you have to change the global time window above in order to look at those executions. You can also filter by your activity names. You can also filter by your pipeline names if you wanted to. So this filtering capability we are able to achieve, and you saw that once I applied the filters, it just returned in a split of a second. And the reason is that what we have done is that we have decoupled our orchestration from our monitoring. So our orchestration now pushes data to our monitoring service, which is completely separate. And in turn, our monitoring service is using an Azure Search Index. So we are using Elasticsearch in the background, where we are creating indexes for all your monitoring information. And that allows us to do all of this filtering in a split of a second. So because we have indexes created in the background, you could also sort ascending or sort descending on all of these columns as well if you wanted to. So again, very powerful for you to navigate to a particular execution inside your data factory in context of your data factory. The next thing I wanted to talk about is batch actions. So one of the feedback that we got from our users is that today, if I come to my data factory And if I have a failure, then I have to rerun them one by one. So I have to click on that particular failure, go in these long blade journeys in Ibiza, and then essentially click rerun one by one. So what we are saying is that now we have made that very easy. So let's assume that you wanted to rerun all your failures. So you would actually go and navigate to the failed activity window. So that will open up all the failures inside your data factory. So once this opens up, you can actually now select all of these failures. And then you can say, I think I accidentally clicked recent, so let me go back and click failed again. You can navigate to all of these failures, and now, just a second, I think my filter status is failing over here, so let me apply failed. And you can select all of these rows yet. So now it's perfect. So you can go now and select all of these, batch select all of these. And you can say, I want to rerun all of them in one go. And you could also rerun with upstream in the pipeline. So this is a very common ask, and this actually improves developer productivity by a lot, because now they don't have to go to each of the failure in order to rerun it. What we have also done for batch actions is that another ask that we had from our user is that I want to pause my pipeline. So now we have made our diagram view actionable. So you could actually pause right from your data factory diagram view your pipeline, and you can see that once I pause, the running thing, that's the red, the green bar that you see, it's moving, is going to change to yellow, and it's going to tell you that you can visually see that this particular stuff has been suspended. So you can resume again by clicking the play button. At that point, it would resume your pipeline and it will start running again. And we have two options here where you could pause, but if there's an activity that is executing right now, it will continue to execute, but you can also pause and kill the activity execution. So we have both the options while you're trying to pause your pipeline. What we have also done is, if you wanted to pause multiple pipelines in one go, then you can select all of them. You can multi-select all of them and use these batch commands that we have on the top bar. So today we just have play, pause and kill all activities. But tomorrow we're going to have more batch commands. So I could just say pause here. And at that point, if I click OK, it is going to go ahead and pause all the selected pipelines. So again, very powerful. So before today, if our customers had to do this, they had to go in PowerShell, write a script, which would be essentially 20 lines of script, run this script in PowerShell, come back, and then see on the factory floor a flag change to paused in their JSON. But now it's very visual. You can do it on the factory floor. You can do batch actions where you can suspend multiple pipelines in one go. So very powerful for our users again. The last thing that I want to show you in this particular view that is again very powerful for our users is, let me first go and resume these pipelines because we want to continue getting data from Howl.net and continue processing that and powering our Power BI dashboard. What we have done is we have allowed users next to go and create alerts from this monitoring and management app as well. So today, if our users had to create alerts, they again had to go to PowerShell. They have to write four JSONs. They have to deploy each one of them, and then only they'll be able to go and create the alert. But now they can go and create the alert in four easy steps. So they just come here and click alert tab on the left. They say add alert, and this opens up a very small wizard, if you will, which has three simple steps in which actually three simple steps earlier I said four, so we simplify it further, where you can specify all the details. So let's say I'm creating a test alert. I say next. And now it's going to show you all the events on which you can create the alert. So you can have activity run started, you can have activity run finished, you can have on demand, cluster created, successful creation, it has the on demand cluster creation has started. So these are the basic events that we have lit up based on customer feedback, but we are going to increase and add more events in this drop down on which you can create alerts. So today, let's assume a customer wants to create an alert on failure. Then they would say activity run finished. They will choose the status as failed, and they can now even come and choose the substate for which they wanted to create the failure. So they can come and say that I want to raise an alert only when the resource allocation has failed, only when timeouts happened or validation has failed, or if I have myself gone and abandoned that run. So go create an alert on that. So let's assume, let's say in this case, we want to say on failed execution. Now you can also aggregate these events. So I'm a DevOps person and I know that my system is stable, but not stable enough that some false events won't get false events won't happen. So I can come and say that I want to raise events only when my failures have happened and they are greater than, let's say, 6 in the last 5 minutes. Then only raise an alert to me. Otherwise, it's a false alarm. So you say next, and then you can email the subscription admins directly by checking this button, or you can add email addresses over here, and you can add multiple email addresses by comma over here and say finish, and at that point we will go and create this alert for you. And after that, any failure that happens in your data factory, we are going to raise an alert email, and you're going to receive that email with context information of what failure has happened, and you can navigate directly to that particular failure. So very powerful for our users again, and we have reduced the time by multifold by providing this simple UX experience. So now, once we have gone, let me go back to my slide deck now. So what the another thing that we have in this particular view is that we have configurable layouts. So you can actually move these in and out. So you could say that I want this explorer to take my entire screen. So you could just move this out, and at that point it would take the entire screen. You could move it back. You could move the list view to the top and say that I only want to work with the list view and I do not want to see the diagram. So complete power to the users as to what they want to see and how they want the factory floor to look like. So what's next? What are we adding next to this particular view that you have seen? So one of the things that we have talked about what's there, one of the things that we're going to add is that you saw that we had system views in the pane. So we're going to add more system views there, which based on customer feedback we believe are important for our customers. And we are also going to allow them to define their own views, because now we have filtering there. So you as a DevOps person could come and say that I'm only interested in looking at failures for last 1 week, because that's when my DevOps duty is going to be. So I'm going to apply that filter and I want to save that as a view, so that from today till next 7 days, I can go and come and only click that view and see the executions in last 7 days. So you will be able to create user defined views as well. There would be more customization. We are going to enable metrics. We're going to allow you to see resource utilization, that how your jobs are running on HD Insight cluster, how many jobs are queued and all that stuff. You'll be able to organize your monitoring diagram. You'll be able to bundle, unbundle assets on the factory floor. So right now, you can see every single pipeline. But what if you wanted to bundle some pipelines into a logical group and say that this is my ingest part? So you want to organize your factory floor. So we're going to allow you to do that. And then we're going to support enhanced alerting as well, where we're going to allow you to work with phone. We could allow you to work with text alerts and all that stuff. So this is what our roadmap looks like in the coming months. We have a bunch of documentation that allows you to get started with Data Factory, talks about this new monitor and manage capabilities. We have labs. We have TechNet labs for an end-to-end business scenario as well, like product recommendation. We have MSDN documentation. We have blogs. Anytime we push out new features, we actually write a blog about that. We have a user voice forum where you can provide your feedback, and we monitor that very closely. And you can always ping us on Yammer as well. So with this, I'm going to stop and look at some of the questions, and I wish to answer those. But what you guys can do in the meantime, if you do not have any question, is you can go and answer these poll questions. So let me go and look at some of the Q&A. So the first question is, do you have richer alerting capabilities? So I already answered that. We are working on adding phone alerts and text alerts. So we are working towards that. So currently, we only support email alerts. The next question that we have is, can I extract from MySQL and use Data Factory to create a JSON? So you can. I believe we support MySQL. I have to go check whether it's one of the supported data sources, and use Data Factory to create a JSON. So I'm not clear what exactly you are trying to do here when you say you want to create a JSON out of it. We do have support for custom .NET activity, where you can write any .NET code and do whatever. So one of the things you could do is that you could use our copy activity to extract data from MySQL and then use a custom .NET activity to create a JSON for it. So it is possible. The next question that I have is, what is Azure Data Factory deployment model? Can Azure Data Factory be run on-premise? So the answer to this is yes. Data Factory is going to be a managed service in cloud only, but what we have is an extensibility model that allows you to orchestrate workloads in on-premise environments as well. So we have partnered with Hortonworks, and when you apply the Hortonworks on-premise platform, you can use Data Factory to orchestrate your Falcon activities on-premise. So we have this extensibility model that is under preview. So you can ping me and I can connect you to the right resources on how you can become part of that preview and see whether it meets your requirements or not. Then I have a question from Norbert from BMG Group. How can I debug in case of failures? I hope, Norbert, I have covered that enough in the webinar today, where I was able to show you how you can look at the failed activity window system view to look at all the failures. You can even filter your activity windows to see that I only want to look at failed executions. And then once you click on your execution, all the context for that failure opens up on the right hand side details pane. And you can see all the logs, all the input properties that went into running that script corresponding to that activity execution and all that. So I assume that I answered that in this webinar. The next question is from Ramesh from TGG. How does it integrate with Oozie workflow? So Ramesh, the answer to this is that we have our own scheduling and orchestration capabilities. We are not using Oozie, and today it does not integrate with Oozie workflow. And we do not have, like, to be honest, we do not have any plans to integrate with Oozie workflow in the coming months as well. The next question that I have is from Casey Munnings from Microsoft. When will ADF support JSON as a source? I tried today and only saw text in Avro formats. So Casey, there's good news for you. The JSON support is coming in the next few weeks. It's already there, but it's currently under exposure control. We are doing some last test before we release it publicly. So it will be there in the next few weeks. Then I have a question from Philip from Discover Solutions. What are the criteria for deciding whether to use Azure Blob or Azure Data Lake? Philip, that's entirely up to you, essentially. That's basically what your scenario is. If you're looking to build a repository that scales automatically as the data scales, then the answer is Azure Data Lake, because Azure Blob, although it has a huge limit, but it has a limit, whereas Data Lake does not have any limit. It's an infinite scale repository. Plus, it allows you to store data in any format, structured, unstructured, whatever you want. So depending on your scenario, you will use Azure Data Lake or Azure Blob. You can ping me separately, and I can connect you to the right resources to give you a deeper information about what are those exact scenarios. But that's not my area of expertise, so I will direct you to the right person. So the next question is from Gaurav Johri from Carvey Global Services. Is there service ticketing incident management capability in order to assign and manage these workflows? Gaurav, there is no capabilities right now to do that. That doesn't mean we have thought about it, but it is not in our immediate plans to do ICM integration. So I believe I have answered all the questions. No, actually, there are some. So I have other question from Blake. Is Azure Data Factory running on HD Insight or Hortonworks HTTP or something else? So the way to think about that, Blake, is that Data Factory is just command and control. It is neither a compute nor a store. You can come and use HD Insight as a compute, and like I mentioned, we have partnered with Hortonworks as well, so you could use Hortonworks compute as well. So Data Factory is just going to schedule your workflows and then allows you to use these compute in your workflow for running different activities on these compute. So the next question is from Rakesh, and is there a guide where you can point to using the monitoring and management app? Yes, Rakesh, you can look at this particular slide deck, and it has in the resources section a monitor and management app link. You can also go to Azure Data Factory documentation and click the learning path and there go to the monitoring and management app as well. Harry from KDS Energy, did a factory to run on Raspberry Pi or does Azure Data Azure work with Raspberry Pi? I cannot answer for Azure, Harry, but I can tell you that Data Factory does not run on Raspberry Pi today. And to further understand, we need to know more about your scenario as to what scenario you are trying to target by running on Raspberry Pi. So we need more details there in order to make an informed answer there. And the next question is from Pedro. Can you share your contact information? Pedro, you can ping me. I see you are from Microsoft. You can ping me internally. My alias is G-A-M-A-L, Gamal, and you should be able to get in touch with me. The next question is from Pedro again. How can I extract from MySQL to JSON and insert into DocumentDB? Goal is to sync a MySQL database with DocumentDB. So Pedro, you could extract from MySQL, and again to JSON you will have, we do not have inbuilt, but you can use the .NET activity to create a JSON, and then we do have a connector for DocumentDB. So you can use the copy activity and use the DocumentDB connector to move data to DocumentDB. All right, so the next question is from Subrantha from Wipro. Is there a prompt facility? Is there any prompt facility for customer through parameter passing? So Pedro, so Subrantha, you do have the ability to pass parameters to your Hive activities, to your pig activities in the define section of your JSON. That said, we do not have any visual ways. We'll have to do it in a JSON. Having said that, we are exploring code-free authoring options, and we will provide more details as we make progress on that in the coming future. But today, you can enter those in the define section of your JSON, and there won't be any prompt for the customer. So it's a thing that you have to do at authoring time. Yang from Microsoft, do you support alerting on a specific pipeline? So Yang, no. Right now, the alerting support is on a data factory level. We are exploring on how we can go on levels below data factory, and this goes back to the infrastructure that we are using beneath us. So we are exploring those capabilities, and we will enable that in the coming months. Prakash from Microsoft, how frequently can this be done? So Prakash, Data Factory supports multiple frequencies. You could go as low as 15 minutes, and you can run daily, monthly, yearly, hourly. So we support a bunch of frequencies there. So again, Prakash has a question, can ADF sync from data from DocumentDB across regions? Yes. So there's no sync capability. That's not the goal. You can copy data from DocumentDB to different regions, but you'll have to set up a separate copy activity for each of it. There's no sync capability per se. I am going to move forward in the feedback. I think Rahi has already done that, so I just wanted to make sure that you guys have provided feedback on the survey, so that's good. So let me go and see if I can cover some more questions there. Blake had a question, when an alert is encountered, can it just be shown on UI dashboard instead of to the email alerts? Folks get flooded with emails. So Blake, we are exploring. We got this feedback from other customers as well. We are exploring this where we can just have an alerts dashboard and customers will have an option either to see there or to look or to create email alerts. So we are exploring that option, but it's not there yet right now. Ashley, can we delete the deployed alert from the console? Yes, you can do that. There's a way you can do it from PowerShell, and there is documentation in the monitoring and management capabilities in the Data Factory documentation on how to do that. So Ashley, that's the question from you. Ramesh, what are the applications that can be run in data pipeline? Ramesh, when you say applications, I assume you mean to say what type of queries we can run. So you could do Hive, Pig, MapReduce, .NET, stored procedure, copy activity. Those are the activities we support. They are activities and not applications that we support in Data Factory. So with that, I think we are already at 11 o'clock. I plan to answer other questions offline, and I can get in touch with the remaining questions that have come across and answer those. But thank you all for joining, and I hope I was able to give you a brief overview about the analytics capability with Cortana Analytics, and specifically talk about how you can monitor and manage these big data pipelines using this newly released monitoring and management app in Azure Data Factory. Thank you. Surahi?
Yeah, thanks again, everyone, for joining. We'll be sending out a recording of the live session as well as the slides within the next 48 hours. And thank you for joining us. Have a nice day.